Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Won't dig, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
This is 97.1 Gang the River. Hey, what is everybody going for this Christmas, man? You going for ham? Or you going for turkey? Or you going for both? Somebody has a big, you might have a big holiday and get a ham and a turkey. I'm actually a ham guy on Christmas with brown sugar glaze and the pineapples on it. Give a toast for me and the gang here. Money in the mornings, 97.1 the River. Merry Christmas for me because we got all the classic hits and you guys got a classic family, huh? Happy holidays.
Money man, what do you got? You got ham and you haven't both. Maybe I can look in the window where you're staying.
Dig through your trash.
Yeah, when are you gonna eat Christmas Day?
What are you?
When do they pick up the barrels?
you're gonna eat on Christmas? What do you think? You're better than me?
I'm gonna get in the back of the look at me, I'm in the back of the garbage truck. It don't crush you if you're deep enough.
I had a situation that almost happened one time. When I was in college, I went to go throw... I had a TV that started smoking. I had a high-quality television. It was the one that had, like, the huge tube in the back. And I got it actually at a pawn shop. And so it started smoking one night. I was watching TV. So I walked out to the dumpster to go throw it away. And I go, and it's kind of tall, so you kind of got to step on this little thing on the side of it. And I'm about to pick it up and throw it in there and hear this, no, 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 don't. And I look down, and there's a guy in there. I was about to throw it on top of his head. He was sleeping in the dumpster.
No, we had a guy that lived in our dumpster when I lived in an apartment in the Highlands.
I was like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'll put this right here. And I put it down by the side. And so my future wife and I, we went back up to the dorm room. And we looked out the window. And the guy crawled out and picked up the TV and looked at it for about a full minute and then walked away with it. Whether he thought it was this big money for him because he was going to sell a TV that was smoking, probably not the wisest idea to try to use it. It probably would have caught the place on fire. But that would have been pretty awful if I would have thrown it at the guy's head and not realized he was in there.
Yeah, we had a guy that lived in the trash, and when you would go to put something, he would go, I take that. And then he was very nice. He would take your trash and he would put it down for you. He slept in there. He was in there all the time. Every day. It's where he lived. Right there in the dumpster.
Yeah. Mm.
Not a bad place to be.
No.
Ugh, all these dumpsters are filled.
Any money just... have you been searching all the dumpsters lately?
Yeah, I can't get a... They can't get a spot. Everyone, oh, look at me. Oh, yeah, baby. My manager stole my money. I got no back end on this. Oh, that dumpster's nice.
See, I thought you would have had a little bit of money from touring and playing places like the Ramada up the street.
I'll tell you what, I gave it all to Peru. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was what, oh yeah. The money man would snort glass. Why not?
Really?
I was snorting glass. Cut in my sinuses.
Okay, well, that's awful.
I was bleeding chunks of stuff. Snorting.
Okay.
Eating the discharge.
He's due for another appearance at a hotel around here soon, isn't he? Is that like
it's usually every
if
Thanksgiving.
You got penny, he shows up in Natick.
He does.
If you got penny slots, I'm there to rock.
This is not a penny slots thing. This is just a situation where there's a place that's got a nightclub in their hotel bar.
Yeah, it's called the Verve. He's usually there everything. I got to check. He's usually there every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm there every Thanksgiving. Hiding out. Came out with a turkey on my head. Ah, look at me. I'm crazy turkey guy.
He's in a festive mood.
Yeah. Well, I was going to eat it from the inside out.
The heart's the best part.
Yeah, don't take nothing out of it. Right.
You know that bag that everyone tosses inside the turkey?
No,
I just ate all bags for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. That's why I put it on my head. Everyone goes, oh, anybody's so funny. I go, ah, joke's on you.
I ate a free bag.
I'm eating everything. Hey. There's nothing wrong if anything in the turkey. Eat the liver and rectum. Oh, yeah, that's good turkey. Is there anything in the egg sack?
Oh,
what? Oh, look at this. Unfertilized eggs. Breakfast is here.
Okay. It's like, you know, half a live chicken.
Not for long.
That's right.
It's there's not, you know, when you, if you don't have an oven, you eat a live chicken.
I don't know if you can do
that. Because the blood's are pouring through. It's real hot blood. You know, I wrote hot blooded.
That was just about eating live animals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hot blooded. That raccoon was nice. Hot blooded. I'd eat it twice.
I'd even eat mice.
I'm not gross.
Okay. I see.
Nah, I'm kidding. I eat mice.
Yeah. You just it's like a snack.
You drown them and then you swallow them.
Oh, it's a horrible thing.
Oh.
Eddie Money, I don't know why you would do that.
Well, because I'm a man of the woods. I'm a hunting. I hunt the trash.
Yes, you do.
All right, well, everyone's very excited because we announced yesterday that Mark Jamelli will be getting his very own recliner.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the people, to the kindness of the people at Bernie and Phil's. And is Nicholas here?
Yeah, he is. He's in the room. Yeah, we're gonna kind of like reintroduce that in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Okay, because everyone's very excited that it was the talk of the town. Everyone was talking about, in all the various places I went yesterday, everyone was very excited about Mark Jamelli getting his... getting his recliner.
There's two things that people were talking to me about as well, and I got some people mentioning that. But also, starting to feel bad for somebody at the station a little bit.
Mm-mm. Really? Do you really?
Kind of.
I don't know.
And I didn't think I would, but I think yesterday I was just like, man, somebody is merciless. Like, absolutely merciless. And to that... maybe it's something we just need to briefly visit. Just briefly mention it.
We talked about this yesterday.
I know.
I don't want to visit it. Because the first time, two times it happened, I laughed. And then I was starting to get like douche
jokes. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Is that
I don't want to visit it.
Okay.
It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the show.
No, what I want to do is maybe call off the dogs. We've done it before.
No, just don't mention it.
Okay.
If you don't mention it and you don't play it, then it goes away. I mean, it's going to get to a point where it's not funny. I mean, if you're just doing it on the station, it's not funny.
Well, I would like things turned in a different direction.
Well, that's fine, but by playing it, you're encouraging people to do it. It wasn't funny.
Well, what if we say don't do it, but do it to another station?
Well, yeah, if you want to call in and do the Sarge Talk stuff, do it to another station because we're not going to play it if you do it here. That's the bottom line. Because I heard it too, and I laughed twice, and then the third one I was like, hey... And then there was another one, and I was like, oh, boy. And then if I was Bertrand...
Although I do not appreciate being blamed for that. Like, we got blamed for that yesterday.
Well, and also insulted. The quality of our show was insulted. But, I mean, I don't blame him from getting annoyed. I mean, it's our own station. I mean, I would be annoyed, too, because it wasn't the point of the bit. The point of what the originally calling in and doing the Sarge thing... was to bother other shows at other stations. It doesn't do any good to do it here. I mean, it's, you know, we want the station to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's too easy. I mean, there's a myriad of stations around town in the country.
And that's what I want. I would like it. And by the way, I thought it was very funny. However, at one point, it was so frustrated. I did not like, however, them insulting us. Like that I was not happy with because we have nothing to do with it. We don't control any of the stuff that happens. But I do think that it would be better served going towards a different station or a group of stations.
Yeah, we're not going to play it if it's from this station. No, I mean, it was completely unnecessary to insult us. Completely unnecessary. I mean, Jesus, Zolak sits there and encourages it.
Yeah.
So, and if Bertrand didn't get so butthurt about it, then it would stop. No one calls in Felger and Maz or Adam Jones. I mean, the idea that Bertrand can't handle it and he gets frustrated is what it spurs people on. But I don't want to play because it's not, I mean, it's enough. Like, it's not, and if everyone hears it, like, right away, then it's not funny. Like, it's funny to get into Hannity and to put it into, you know, perspectives and to sneak it in and all that stuff. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity.
Oh, it was pretty great. I mean, it was funny. I have to admit it was funny.
I thought the first two were funny, and then I was like, eh. Like, it's like a lot. I mean, if he would had any sense, he wouldn't acknowledge it. But I mean, if you, it's like a Marx Brothers thing. You know, there's someone who plays the heavy, and then you go and you keep trying to annoy him. But no, I don't think we should play him today.
No, I'm just saying we play it. But I do think that we send out a plea to what are they calling themselves? The council?
Yes. The Sarge Council.
We love your work. I would I think Mike, that you should steer it towards a different station or group of stations.
I think for Mike in Vegas is great, but Mike
John
in Vegas. Vegas.
John in Vegas.
John in Vegas. But John in Vegas' best stuff is when he calls other stations. Mm. It doesn't have to be like a Francesa. I mean, that's great when you do it, but it's much funnier if it's someone who doesn't know who Sarge is. And you kind of couch it and try to manipulate the audio, manipulate the situation so you can sneak Sarge in there.
Although Mustard and Johnson know who Sarge is, and that's still...
I have no problem with Mustard and Johnson. That will get played every time. But, I mean, EEI has not other radio station or radio shows. I mean, you go ahead and do it there.
Yeah.
I mean, it does it... I mean, the ruin disdain, one of their shows.
The disdain in Dale Arnold's voice is pretty funny.
Yeah, do Dale Arnold's show.
John flashes an extra big smile.
Yeah, because do Dale's show. I mean, he can't he's a big curmudgeon. He can't take it. He might lose his mind and start screaming at everyone in there. So there's your edict. Take your focus, because you're very focused.
Rich Keefe, is this one of your youth? Is this one of your people listening to you?
Today do it to Dale and Keefe.
One of your people.
Is this one of your people?
Yeah. That's my suggestion to the
kids today.
And I'm with you. I think it was unnecessary to insult our show.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell, dude? We've called off the dogs.
Well, no, and also it wasn't like, oh God, you know, Dutch and Rich have this guy calling in. I mean, it was like personal. Oh, they'll play, this is their content for the day, they'll play this. Well, you know what? If it's content, it's content. And people care enough obviously to do it. No, I thought he was being a prick. But I also think that it's not funny. As funny at all when they call their show.
And I disagree, but I think that it's time to move on to a different place. Like, I thought it was very funny.
What's funnier, when they call Mustard and Johnson or they call Rzolik and Bertrand?
Mustard and Johnson. Mustard and Johnson,
without a doubt.
Way funnier. The one guy just called it and went, Sarge. It was the first thing out of his mouth.
It was just yesterday.
I mean, that was great.
It was the first thing out of his mouth. I was in the car by myself, and I laughed.
I did, too.
And then the second one, I laughed. And by the third one, I was like, oh, boy. Manny, go ahead.
Hey, steak and eggs, boys. Good morning. Hey, I got to tell you, I agree with you guys. There's no reason for them to insult your show. The Mustard and Johnson thing, yeah, that's funny, but just listening to Beatle and Zolak egging him on, that's why people are doing it.
Oh, sure.
I mean, just to piss Beatle off. And you know what? Just keep it up, guys. Just let it roll. Let it roll. Let him piss Beatle off. It's doing everybody good. You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
I don't want to play him if they're at the station.
He's just making it worse.
His instincts on it are horrible. I don't think that it was... I think that he played this completely wrong. I mean, if it was just Zolak, no one would do it anymore because Zolak just laughs.
Right. Zolak, like, encourages
him. I think he was getting kind of pissed off yesterday. I mean, when you can't do a show, I mean, it's different. But no, I don't think that Bertrand had to insult our show, and I don't think that... But again, the idea was to make it tougher and tougher. And so just do it to another show. It's just as easy. And they'll get just as pissed, if not more pissed. So No, I laughed out loud at the first two. And then I was like,
Sarge. I actually wouldn't mind playing that one.
No, we're not playing that. We discussed it. I called you yesterday.
I know.
I called you yesterday. I said I thought it was funny, but it's enough already on this station. And it's more Bertrand's fault than anyone's. But, I mean, they don't call in Felger and Maz, and they don't call in Adam Jones. So, but no, I don't think that we should play the audio because I want to encourage people to get more creative. All right, Rich, what happened last evening?
Oh, it was nifty night, and the Bruins with a nice win. On top of that, what the hell happened last night in the NFL?
All right, we will have that all for you.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now, you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. Well, despite the completely random timing of it all and the ridiculously early start at about 6:30, leaving just a few thousand in the arena to watch, Nifty Knight was a pretty cool moment. Here he is afterwards.
Well, you know, it really is hard to put into words. You know, I've had 4 months to think about it, and I hate repeating myself, but honestly, I believe it's the biggest honor that certainly a retired athlete can get in his career. And the fact that, you know, in the last 6 or 7 years, you know, I've been seeing that it's not out there, nobody's wearing it. And then all of a sudden it happened, in July, a phone call in July. I never thought it would ever happen that way, but I just have to thank Cam so much for doing it.
What made it cool to you?
Okay, well, I thought it was kind of neat because there was, well, first of all, it was kind of funny because, you know, this is a guy that most of us weren't alive to see play. However, John Wallach was 40 at the time.
It was only 30 years ago. Come on.
We were alive. I never saw him.
You were alive?
Play.
Yeah, but I mean,
I remember watching him play.
I never watched
enough.
It live.
Yeah, I never saw him play.
I did. So
I know nothing about him.
Well, we do know, however, a lot from last night because Don Cherry, and this is what I liked about it, he actually got to, and I like Don Cherry, obviously. We're all fans of his.
Right.
He got to bust Middleton's balls a little bit. After being what many thought was an offense-only player, saying that they had to introduce him to the goalie at the end of every season. But I'm not going to lie, all of it seemed weird. This massive production done so early that only a few thousand people were able to be there for
Despite Jack Edwards' pleas.
You know, there were a lot of people. Actually, it's funny. Billy Jaffe sat in the studio, said, Nifty night, make sure you're there early.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, early was 6:30.
I know.
And think about that, 6:30 on a weekday.
Face-off is 40 minutes after that. I know.
No. Face-off was an hour and a half.
Scheduled face-off was 40 minutes after that, and then the ceremony went a long time.
Yeah, so it started at 6:30, and Nesson wisely tried to keep, like, the cameras off of a wide shot of the crowd, but every once in a while you would see it. And you know, who can show up that early?
Also, what percentage of the audience at that point cares?
Sure. Well, listen, they waited
too long to retire the number. That night, last night, meant nothing to me.
But seeing a number retired is kind of neat to see. I mean,
unless it's the Celtics, because it happens 5 games a year. They just put any number up there.
I think they only retired one number in, like, the past, like...
Max was the last guy to have his number retired.
And then Pierce, yeah.
No, Pierce. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, my bad. They have no numbers retired.
Talking recently. I mean,
not so much.
But everyone's number's retired.
There are a lot, yes.
Cedric Maxwell's number is retired.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. If you basically
1981 NBA Finals MVP.
God
Cedric
bless
Maxwell.
Him. Mm-hmm. God bless him. Go ahead and retire that number. they've retired so many numbers they can't even have banners for them. It's just got to be one banner with numbers in it.
It's true. It's just like a big
Brady Bunch grid. Banners with many numbers on each of them.
I don't want to have an argument about the number of numbers retired by the Celtics.
You get a little corner in each banner. Yes,
indeed. But I don't. I'm not being negative about the whole affair. But it's just that I'm 43. I have no recollection of him playing, even though he played to 88.
This is Middleton now.
Yeah, Middleton. Okay. I have no recollection of him playing. And just like, why would I get there early just to see some random dude get his number retired? Now, if you're of that age and he was like your favorite player, that's one thing. But obviously it wasn't a big enough deal that many people wanted to go in and see it.
I am of that age. He was not my favorite player.
Okay.
So, but again, the guy was averaged 45 or 50 goals a year for about seven years.
I'm not
but,
saying anything about his credentials.
Yes. No, he was not my favorite player, but I watched him.
You retire his number in 91,
Yes.
And then you get a bunch of people that have just recently watched him play. Like, they're going to retire Bergeron's number probably the year after he retires.
I agree.
Ceremony was at 6:30. I think the puck dropped at like 8:08.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it was.
And that was due to the length of the ceremony?
It was a ceremony. And then also, they had the players had to come out and skate and warm up. I mean, it was a fairly lengthy affair. And I believe the puck was scheduled to drop at 8, but it ended up going about 10 minutes too long.
I was surprised. I was surprised it took that long.
Yeah. No, it did. It did. I have to be honest. The little bit I saw of it was, and to be honest, it was really the Don Cherry stuff that made it good. Well, and the Don speech
Cherry,
was pretty good.
Don Cherry, was wearing the Bruins thing. And
which is, everyone loves the guy.
Don Cherry's all right.
But after all the pomp and circumstance, there was a game to be played.
Pastrnak, right circle, fire, they score! Brad Marchand took a dish at the bottom of the far circle and hammered a one-timer by Robin Leonard, and the Bruins with a power play goal tied the game at 1.
Well, after a drought as of late, Brad Marchand finally gets back to his scoring ways. He tied things up at 1 against the Islanders. However, it would be the kid just brought back up from the AHL that would be the overtime hero.
Ryan Donato off the bench with a chance to win it right here. Donato saying before the game that his favorite player, his dad's favorite player, Rick Nifty Middleton, he snags the puck, stick handles into the right circle, dangles into the slot, backhand, he scores! And the Boston kid on Nifty night wins it for the Bruins in the shootout, 2-1 over the Islanders.
Do you think Middleton's so pissed that his nickname's Nifty?
It's like Swell.
Yeah, exactly.
See, Swell guy.
Back in
Jeff
the 80s.
Swell guy Anderson.
That's 80s. A nickname like from 1920.
Yeah.
Like Bees Knees Richard.
I love it. Nifty.
Yeah, well, Ryan. Like it sounds so corny. Like Nifty night.
Well, Ryan Donato, welcome back. You are indeed Nifty. He scores a game winner with
his
Swell
dad's
goal.
Favorite with a Swell goal. What are other words they use in Little Rascal?
Oh,
Keen Bee's Knees.
Keen is good.
Yeah.
Richie Keen Smith.
Nifty. Yep. Nifty.
Well, yeah,
not the coolest nickname.
No, not.
The Truth is a good nickname.
Yes.
There's things like this.
The Hammer.
Hammer.
Hi, I'm Rick Nifty Middleton. See me skate around all nifty. Razzle dazzle, everybody. I'm certainly razzle dazzle and a little dance.
Can't do that without the jazz hands.
Jazz hands! when he would tip his helmet to the people.
Yeah, that's right. He'd do his helmet and have like a Bach cane in his hand.
He'd take a stick and use it like a cane.
Right.
Super nifty!
Well, the Skeleton Crew Bruins, they win their third game in four contests.
Every point they can pick up.
Man, I'm telling you.
They're fun to watch. They really are. Yeah. They're easy to root for.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, quite possibly the strangest. You know what? Let's wait. Let's wait till after the headlines, because there was something truly awesome that happened on the ice yesterday, and I have to give Nesson all the credit in the world for capturing it. It's one of those things kind of similar to the crotch grab, except this was a very kind gesture that you don't see between too many hockey players, between an ex-Bruin and David Krejci.
Oh, and we were talking about guys getting run at. That happened again.
Oh, it did.
Oh, yeah. They're
third
screwed.
Period and in the overtime, you saw it happen. The Bruins missed that presence. They really do.
Oh, yeah. They're going to take some liberties with them.
Yep. So one of the weirder things that you've seen happen on the Bruins ice this season that didn't involve somebody getting a concussion, but it was
still pretty bad.
We will
describe it as nifty.
Yes, it was definitely the bee's knees.
It was rough and tumble. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yo, I got my man Jack Brown on the right of me. Ill ass Loop Pack, Ill MC. My man Mad Lib just lounging in the back. Five Diggy Dog come correct on the track.
95 Sports Hub, we're touching Rich.
I've been to London, Paris, what, room.
What else? You saw something there during the game.
Yeah, quite possibly the strangest moment of last night's Bruins game was after David Krejci took a big check from Thomas Hickey at the end of the second period. It looked like ex-Bruin Johnny Boychuk skated over to David Krejci, and this happened.
High in the middle of the zone, Beauvillier's shot blocked down. Krejci, whoa, what a hit from Hickey, and Krejci is staggered. Thomas Hickey did the damage. Johnny Boychuk picked up the chiclets.
Yeah, you can tell in the super slow-mo, we highlighted that sometimes, whether it's a puck or a stick or body contact, things can happen, teeth can come out. Former teammate Johnny Boychuk delivering some teeth, or at least one tooth.
That's right. Johnny Boychuk skates over to David Krejci and returns his tooth to him and says, here you go, man, you might need this. Hockey players, just a different breed. Bruce Cassidy, after the game, was talking about the weird tooth delivery moment.
No, I did. I found out he lost one or two. I didn't see Johnny do that. He brought it back to our bench or his own?
He did?
Yeah, I love Johnny. He's a good guy, but that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he has a certain fetish.
Maybe, yeah. He does. And Tory Krug, who also had a front row seat to see the tooth offering, he didn't believe it was real at first.
Yeah, I didn't even know what he was picking up, to be honest. I thought he was just being a clown like he typically is. So after I found out it was his teeth, it was pretty gross.
I haven't been following how well Boychuk has been doing. I mean, there's a little bit here and there, but how has he been over the past 2 years?
I'll take a look. Okay. I hadn't even thought to look.
You know, because it was funny. I even forgot he was on the Islanders until I watched the game last night. I'm like, oh, yeah, Johnny Boychuk. Guy we used to have on every week.
Wonder if Boychuk has a DA situation going on.
With teeth?
Yeah, like, feet. And maybe he's like, ooh, a loose tooth.
Boychuk, no goals in 24 games.
Okay. All right.
This season. And last year, 6 goals, and 58. He's pretty much 6. This is his 5th year with the Islanders, 9 goals, 9 goals, 6, 6, and 0. But then again, he wasn't much better with the Bruins either. He's pretty much the same guy.
But you're right, Fred. They are getting targeted, and this is going to be the way it's going to unfortunately roll until they're able to get some of these guys back. When Kevin Miller out for 4 to 5 weeks, that is not
you know
a
who
sign.
Leads the Bruins in penalty minutes? Actually, he's the NHL in penalty minutes. Brad Marchand.
Yeah, no surprise there.
I mean, he has as many fighting majors as anybody. He has 3 fighting majors. That leads the NHL at this point. This is what the NHL has kind of segued into or evolved into. You have skilled players who can fight, and Evander Kane is in the top 3 in penalty minutes in the NHL as well. I mean, you still got guys like Borowiecki in Ottawa, the guy who gave Urho Vaakanainen his concussion. I mean, you still got guys like that that are skating around. But this is what the NHL wants, and you see what happens when you don't have enforcers on the ice. Guys like Krejci get a stick in the mouth, and all of a sudden, there you have it.
Well, the Bruins continue their homestand.
Remember old Johnny's stick in the mud?
Yep.
Sitting out there with Nifty.
Yep.
There was stick in the mud Jones and Nifty. They're all out there.
I do like
wheel and a stick.
I do like those old school nicknames.
Nifty.
Nifty, mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure was one nifty goal. Yeah, you scored there, buckaroo. I can't wait to put it in the fish wrap in the morning.
Still no McAvoy, still no Carlo, and I wonder how patient the Bruins are going to be publicly, how long it's going to take Cassidy to start nudging McAvoy a little bit publicly.
His team is playing as well as they've played all season.
I know. You don't think they want a defenseman back?
No, I know they do. It's just it's a thing. If you bring McAvoy back, does that ruin the chemistry?
That's right, John. That's an excellent
They don't want
point.
Him.
That's an excellent point. that's well said. You know what? They should trade him.
Yeah.
And just trade him for
get
picks.
A first-round pick.
They don't need him now.
No.
Yeah, they've proven that.
You can't keep this up. It's going to last all season.
He's just going to put his hands to his ears and make those moose antlers say, we don't need you. No. Stay on the side.
I wonder how long it's going to take for them to, how Cassidy's going to evolve into, he's already getting annoyed.
He's going to be back this week. He's got to be. He's
Carlo be. Is one step away. I thought he was going to play last night.
Carlo's, I did too.
Carlo's one step away from coming back. You get McAvoy back and here you go. Yeah. I mean, they're only 5 points out of first place. It's a loaded division this year, but still. They're right there, considering how many people they're without.
Listen, they've won 3 of the last 4 games.
And that's 6-2-2 in their last 10. It's remarkable.
Not bad.
I would like to get defensemen back.
Well, Bruins continue their homestand against the Red Wings tomorrow night. And as always, you can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So as the Patriots get ready for the game against the Minnesota Vikings, Rob Gronkowski once again found himself in the injury report just one day after being missing from it for the first time in a while.
Yeah, he was lighting farts and things got out of hand.
That happens when you're Rob Gronkowski.
Well, he was living.
I wonder if in Arizona he ever had to miss a game due to lit fartinitis.
Yeah, like, you know, burnt innards.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it sucks back.
That's
in.
Why he was limited. They had to take him off the field to chastise him, so he missed a couple of reps.
Yeah. He's like,
that's why he was limited.
That blue blazer got out of hand.
I understand.
There's a video out there that Slayer made, and they just, anytime any of the guys had to fart, they rolled a video camera they had at the rehearsal space, and they would light their fart. And it's an entire video of them lighting their farts.
So satanic. Even their farts were satanic.
That's right. Breathing fire like a demon dragon. Well, Rob Gronkowski was limited with both ankle and back injuries because, of course, it's Rob Gronkowski. More than likely, it means nothing regarding this weekend. However, Stephon Diggs yesterday missed his second straight practice with a knee injury. This is significant. Maybe it's a little bit more so than initially thought. And the strangest thing about all of it is that even the writers that cover the team and watch the All-22 and stuff are having a hard time figuring out where the hell this came from.
I read that it's not a big deal and they're just giving him a couple days.
You see, I thought that originally, but you missed 2 days in a row. Wouldn't you think giving him a couple days would be just like one? But, you know,
I just think that it's just a couple days. And that his knee has just been annoying him, and they said, why push it?
I read the same thing as you did, but I'm with Rich. Back-to-back days is a little different. And another huge loss, Xavier Rhodes, that's a first-team All-Pro, a quarterback.
Yeah, Xavier Rhodes is a big deal.
And that's really big deal.
If you had Stephon Diggs in your team and he had tweaked his knee, and wouldn't you err on the side of
sure?
I mean, what does he need to practice for?
Sure you do. But I mean, I think 2 days off, one day is a maintenance day, and you understand that. But missing Wednesday and Thursday at this time of year, when you really need a win, is a little different.
So if he misses today, then he's pretty much not going to play.
Well, I mean, again, if you're resting him, you miss all 3 days of practice, they'll list him as questionable.
Yes, and he's questionable right now.
Well, Adam Thielen is not. Adam Thielen is limited, and he yesterday said this about the Patriots.
The quarterback and coach have done some good things in this league, so you have a lot of respect for what they've done and what they're doing. And you have to understand that going into a game like this on the road against a team like this, you know it's going to be a battle, and you know that you're going to get their best shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to be. You know, that's some great insight there. They get a quarterback and coach who've had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know that you've really been breaking it down.
He looked it up before he actually made that comment.
He went to Wikipedia.
Have they had a lot of success? Well, indeed, they've had a lot of success.
Yeah, he Wikipedia'd it right before he knew he had to talk to the press.
Well, the Celtics have obviously been having a little bit of a hard time finding some chemistry, and one person who we all expected to have a little bit of a difficult time getting back to what he was before the injury was Gordon Hayward.
Old Crazy Legs Hayward.
Crazy Legs Hayward. However, the one thing that we are seeing as of late is a decent amount of leadership coming from Kyrie Irving. He seems to be saying the right things, and yesterday he told the press what he had been telling Gordon Hayward over the last several days about needing to shoot more.
Well, honestly, I think that he's passing a little too much, you know, for Gordon's potential and his talent. You know, I think that coming out into the next few games, I think that he'll be able to show some different things that he has for the start of the season. Just being more aggressive offensively, you know, looking for his shot more. We had practice yesterday. I told him, you know, look for your shot more, you know, and get aggressive and get yourself going, because you are, you know, a great talent in this league, and I don't want you to ever forget that. You know, of course, he does a great job coming off pick and rolls and making those passes, but I want him to be aggressive and score the basketball for us as well, because we're going to need it down the stretch.
I love it. He's saying all the right things. Are you surprised at Kyrie? Because, I mean, before he came to this team, he never really showed these things because he was under the shadow of LeBron James.
This falls in line with everything we heard about Kyrie and why he left Cleveland to what he said, how he was going to re-sign before the season started. I mean, this is the natural evolution. This is the next step. He left Cleveland because he wanted his own team. He wanted to be the man. And then said before the season started, I'm going to re-sign. I want to, you know, basic paraphrasing, I want to lead this team. I want this to be my team. Fine. I mean, this is a team that needs a leader. He's the guy. I'm absolutely fine with this.
Because there's also there was a big chance whenever you get a star coming in town and they start off a season like he did, like I'm buying all in. That's because the world thought that you guys were basically going to coast into the finals. You were definitely the favorite to win the Eastern Conference.
But the fact that they started off the season not doing so well, faced a ton of adversity, and on top of that, everyone's writing articles about what's wrong with the Celtics, and he's still saying things like this, I like it.
Remember, he said, this is the same guy that said to the media, you know, we're going to be fine, I'll make sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the leader, that's the guy. And it's ever since Brad Stevens has been here, it's Brad Stevens is the leader. And up until Kyrie got here, it was still that way. And now you have a bona fide superstar on the team who has decided to take the leadership role. I think this is perfect.
And I can't wait to sound really stupid when during the offseason he leaves and signs with the Knicks with Kevin Durant. And then I'll just...
That would be a kick to the groin.
Yes, it would. Yeah, all that whole, hey, you know, it's Knicks. Oh, well, that's an easy line to
that would not
draw.
Be good.
I grew up around a Knicks fan. I mean, then of course, he's going to end up leaving and just stepping on the balls of every Celtics fan.
If I'm Durant, do I want that?
Do you want to go to the Knicks?
No, not, I might want to go to the Knicks, but, I mean, he's so sensitive about getting the proper credit that he... believes he deserves.
He's where Kyrie was about 2 years ago. And the question is, Kyrie certainly can handle it. Can Durant? I think Durant in his mind thinks he can, but in reality he can't.
Does Durant want to be signed with a team who's signing another superstar?
Kevin Durant's the biggest superstar whatever team he goes to.
No, I understand.
Except
that,
unless it's the Lakers.
But it's always been believed that he has had a supporting cast of equals. Not quite equals, but a supporting cast. I mean, Oklahoma City.
That's the example. He and Russell Westbrook did not get along.
Yeah,
right.
He wants to be the guy. I mean, that's all he's saying right now is he wants to be the guy.
Well, the difference is that with Golden State, they're winning without him. So he's not, no, even though he's their best player, he's still not the guy. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter. He didn't like Oklahoma City because there was two other stars there. He's starting to get fed up with Golden State because there's stars there.
He tolerated, looking back on it now, it looks like he tolerated it until he was able to win a championship. Now that he's won a championship, he's back to where he was when he was in Oklahoma City.
So I'm saying if he goes to New York, does he want to sign along with another major free agent? Because then it just looks like he's not the guy.
I think he also wants to win because he doesn't want to look like a failure who left.
Ways to win, but I mean, I'm questioning if that's what he wants at this stage.
It's interesting. How do you view Kristaps Porzingis?
I don't know if he's going to play.
Well, I mean, we talked about this on the air. I mean, he says he's almost ready to play. The Knicks are in a situation now where they want to hold him out a little bit to get a higher draft pick. But say they get Porzingis back and then Durant signs there.
Yeah, but that's two guys. But if the act of signing in an offseason where they also get Kyrie Irving is kind of more of the same in what he's rebelled against. So that's just something to keep in your pocket. All right, well, something you can keep in your pocket is a wonderful, wonderful recliner. And we gave one of our favorite people a recliner, and everyone should listen to this in the spirit of the season.
Jerry Rabish.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and the holiday season is upon us. And we just obviously had Thanksgiving. And a favorite of many people, clients, everyone else, is much to the dismay of his son, is Mark Jamelli.
Oh, the father of our own Nick.
Young, sick Nicholas. Mr. Jamelli, hello.
Jamelli.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We are doing great. Now, we talked to you before Thanksgiving. How was the day for you?
Well, it was great. You know, 3 days of preparation and cooking, and then everybody comes, and 20 minutes, they're done, you know? So then you got 3 more days of eating leftovers. I loved it.
All right, so what is preparation? In the 3 days of preparation for your feast, obviously you're a culinary whiz. What does the 3 days entail?
Well, you have to realize that living where I am, position-wise, I'm in walking distance to Faneuil Hall, which is also the outside vegetable market. So I got to go get all my fresh vegetables. It takes me a while because you got to lug it all back. And then, thaw out the turkey and then cook. And just cook and cook. You know, with one oven, you just cook so much at one time.
Now, how many hours of that day do you believe that you were actually in your recliner, able to relax?
Oh, maybe about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay,
you're not a big sleeper. You like to seize the day. You like to live in the now. Correct.
I do, because you know you got the Macy Day Parade, which is my oldest daughter. All her friends are in it, and then you know we got football for the rest of the day, and munching on food, and no better place to be than in my recliner for that. You know.
So Nick came over, and he ended up having dinner with you, correct?
Yes, he did, and he behaved. He didn't throw any food this year. And so it was a nice, peaceful day. And my cousins were down from New Hampshire, and it was a great day. We had a great day.
Has Nick thrown fits before, young Nick? Has he gotten in arguments and thrown food?
No. He likes to make funny sounds, while I'm putting the food on the table and get the girls laughing, and there's been many a year I've gone over the table to grab his throat, but this year, because he had been sick, I it was very gentle. I'm very thankful that he's with us. It makes everything worthwhile.
What kind of sounds does Nick make at the table?
Oh, one year it was crazy. I made filet mignons. It was for Christmas dinner. I worked hours on him, and he kept making the passing of gas sounds off his arm and like all as we were sitting down, and so his sisters are laughing hysterically, and I'm ready to cut his throat. So
respect the filet, right?
Yeah,
come on, this is filet. We probably had gone 3 weeks without food so I could have this nice dinner for Christmas. So
was this when he was like 12?
I wish.
So Nick is very simplistic. He's childlike in a way.
He likes to aggravate you, and he is a funny bastard. And that's what's it's hard to see. Even as a little kid, he'd pull things, and it was very hard to discipline him because you'd be cracking up. You couldn't keep a straight face to yell at the kid,
Yeah, in the Jamelli house, the Three Stooges is like a Mehmet play. It's very highbrow. What's going on in there? All right, well, listen, Mr. Jamelli, if we beg you to hang on, we have an opportunity for you that we would like to present.
Yeah, Wallach has to do his headlines, but we come back, there's something that we want to propose to you.
All right.
Sound good?
It's all good.
It's all good, baby.
I'm not giving my oldest daughter up for Saj. I'm just going to say that out.
No one's saying that.
Please.
No. Apparently, Sarge pulls in the ladies, but this is not something that you'll be receiving. Something,
yeah. This is something we want to do for you.
Oh, that's very kind, fellas.
All right, stay on hold. We will be back in about 90 seconds. That's okay, right. We just got to do Wallach's headlines.
All right,
make it fast.
Glasses. You speed it up. All right, here we go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.